From a channeled message that Pam Padalano received to the ears of thousands of human beings all over the world, a message of love and hope for the future of the human race. On Awakened Soul Stories on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, Fridays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m., we'll speak with awakened humans from all walks of life, living their true life purpose and sharing their experiences to help others gain the same knowledge. Her guests are inspiring and insightful with true life experiences that will bring you the peace and guidance your soul desires. Listen in on Fridays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. as we give you the tips and tools to help live your best life and be of the highest vibration in this world and the next. Pam has helped hundreds of people navigate successfully on their path to understanding the one true consciousness.
So welcome to another episode of Awakened Soul Stories. My name is Pam Padalano and I am your host. And my special guest today is none other than the one and only musical genius, David Chandler.
Hello, everyone. Hello out there in wonderful land.
Yes. David and I have known each other for quite a few years. We met serendipitously, 12 years ago, and have been friends ever since. I don't know how else to say it. David works in the visual arts, kind of, sort of, right, David?
Kind of, sort of. 34 years at Rhode Island School of Design.
Okay, and what do you do there?
I'm the coordinator and director of media services.
Okay.
Which means I'm responsible for all the presentation at the big old art school.
Got it.
Kind of a thing.
And you're still there after all these years.
I am.
Yes, I am. We're going to start out with a little bit of, you know, information about how you actually got started in music. You know, were you, is this from your childhood? Were you born that way? Please tell us. We're very interested.
Okay. Well, my dad was a professional singer. He had his own national radio show, believe it or not, in New York City. And he was roommates with Dean Martin. And he and Sinatra had the same vocal coach. So he used to do this show, Jimmy Chandler and Vincent Lopez Orchestra from the Hotel Taft. And they do it live in a hotel ballroom. So I grew up with him singing in the house and playing a little piano. And my mom's also was trained on piano. So, you know, it was definitely, there was music around. I was encouraged to take lessons when I was a youngster, and so I did. And much to everyone's dismay, I wasn't all that hot on learning to read music because I just wanted to play music. Because if you ever notice that visual artists work, it's their work, but musicians play music. I always thought that was interesting because they do, and I just wanted to play music. I didn't want to be, you know, sort of tethered to the whole idea of notation and all. They gave me lessons for about a year. I was able to memorize most of the stuff because I could hear it. I could hear all the intervals and play pieces back without reading them and pretend like I was reading them. But they soon caught on to that, and that was the end of that. Then a few years passed, and my dad actually taught me two songs on the piano when I was like 13. One of them was Misty, which I thought was, I don't know if I could even play it today, but you know, I used to play it all the time when I was a young piker. And yeah, that's when I started really starting to noodle quite a bit on the family upright. And then my oldest and dearest friend, Fred Wilkes, who I've now still hang out with after 53 years, and I got together and started to learn some songs. He played guitar. So how convenient was this? And I remember we learned Santana's Evil Ways. That was the first song we ever learned. And it has three chords in it. Every time we went to the third chord, we were so excited, we were just going to jump out of our skin, a three chord song. And we could do it. He had his mom's like home Lowry organ. I go over to his house and play that thing. So that noodling and playing with your best friend kind of thing turned into a little more like, you know, high school bands and, you know, and the old thing about guys love to be in bands because girls love that. there was that factor when we were adolescent boys, which of course is pretty normal. And so we grew up on 70s rock and roll, you know, and went to high school in the early 70s. One thing led to another, went to school, went to college, became a freaky hippie guy, just kept pursuing music. By the time I was about 18 or 19, I got into a fairly serious band. I was playing out almost full, like 3 or 4 nights a week playing out. And that's when the drinking age was 18. Wow. Now it's just playing out. We just played out as much as we could get gigs because there was nothing else to do. Nobody else wanted a job. Oh my God, a job? When you're a musician, why do you need a job? You just go play in some dive bar somewhere and get $50, you know, I mean, so that's how that went for a number of years. By the time I was 19, though, the band was really starting to come around, and we went up to Boston and did a demo. And that one was being shopped to 19 major record companies. And so that was going to be a thing. And in fact, the guy who was in the band, the lead guitarist in that band, I just saw the night after Thanksgiving at the Narrows Concert Club in Fall River. He is the 30-year leader of Room Full of Blues. So he's the one who really got a career. His name's Chris Vachon. He's a spectacular musician and awesome songwriter. I mean, just unbelievable. He was unbelievable at 19. So what happened with that demo was the drummer and I got turned on to this spiritual teacher right at this confluence, right at this point at which we were going to like sign on with this studio. And we chose to follow the teacher instead because our spiritual life was more important to us than rock and roll, even than rock and roll, if you can believe this.
That's big. Keep talking.
And it was quite the adventure because from that point forward, still did music, but in a different context. You know, music really became something more than entertainment for a bunch of drunk people in a bar. We started to really explore some deeper dimensions of music, energetically, vibrationally, because, you know, we're getting turned on in our spiritual lives. And this was a different way to listen and to experience. And so that's what became of, and that's a really important distinction that I always like to make and pass on from my own experience is that, you know, there was a big transition between music as entertainment and music as healing and music as therapy and music as something else, and sound as energy. So as our spirituality got lit up, you know, we started to explore that in a big way. That led me to music therapy, which I thought was going to be the greatest career that ever happened. But unfortunately, at the time, this is by the 80s, early 80s, I guess, music therapy was still very like as an adjunct and hadn't really established itself as a serious discipline. There were some of them out there and certainly a national accreditation and all of that. But I didn't choose to do that for a lot of reasons. However, I did continue to choose to learn whatever I could about the vibrational qualities of music and the emotional qualities of music and the deeper listening that was more akin to listening with your being than it was listening to a tune on the radio and grooving, which is perfectly fine. I love all that stuff, but this is another way, and music as meditation as well was another way, and sound as meditation became another way to explore consciousness. And I often refer to sound as the carrier wave of consciousness. In the right context, it really can be that. In any context, really, it is that. If you listen to what is the character, what's the underlying feeling in any song that you hear, even the horrible ones that you hear on the radio, what are they saying? They're saying, hey, baby, you know, usually. But I'm not saying that, you know, they're saying that. Good luck to them.
You're not saying that?
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that the world is in the midst of the greatest transition in history of humankind. And this is a time to pay attention to your heart, to identify yourself by using music and sound in a way that you normally haven't on a regular basis, perhaps, in your life. I think we're very habituated to our old identities. I am this, I am this, I am this. And the current political climate certainly does stress all of the individuality. I am this race, I am this sexuality, I am this, I am, I am, I am. I am all these labels. And yet, what are you really? You are a human being, and that's the being part is the important part.
That's our soul. That's our soul language.
It's a soul language. That's what, and music is a soul language. There's no doubt about that. It's languages. It's many different soul languages, but indeed.
Indeed.
Music can be just an incredible bridge for carrying your consciousness. So that took me up until like the 80s. And then I got into a band, another band. Even as I was actively in the spiritual practice, we were all devotees of a certain teacher, and we all got together and made a band. The band was called Home, and Home did a bunch of big time concert act things, opening for the likes of Bonnie Raitt and the Kinks and all these sort of 70s bands that only us old folks know. So that was cool, I guess. You know, I mean, at least you can say you did it and you had an experience opening for some people. So that was fun.
What kind of music was it?
It was rock music. It was devotional rock music. Some of it wasn't. Some of it was just our own stuff that was just rock music. But it was definitely rock music. It was loud. I mean, really loud. We love to play loud. I no longer play loud because I value my hearing, you know, so.
Yes, what's left of it, right?
Yeah, what's left of it. Oh, look, literally the drummer in the band, I still know, it's a friend of mine, and you know, he has hearing aids from being a rock drummer his whole life. So
wow.
He just trashed his hearing, you know. So where can I go from here? We did the concert acts. Then I got interested in going to school finally. And went to Lesley University and self-designed a degree around music, therapeutic music in particular. And that was a great experience. I learned a lot. I learned to be a lot more academic in my style. And that was, you know, an exercise of my left brain, which I rarely use. But good. That took me much further down the road in terms of my curiosity and sort of insatiable curiosity to learn whatever I could about the nature of sound.
And the healing aspect of it, or
the
just
healing aspect of it. Absolutely. That's what it was all about. It was all about.
What made you decide to go into sound therapy? I mean, like what did that look for you?
Well, when I first started investigated, it seemed like such a noble pursuit. And then I found out that the field was really sort of wonky and limited. So my alternative was to, I'll just design my own degree, thank you very much. And I was able to. And that was a great experience because it was based around a doctoral program model where you get a mentor, you write a thesis, you know, back up your thesis, you do all your own research, you show your progress, and then you go before a committee and they either approve it or not. And so my 100-page thesis was on energetic anatomy and sound, in which I explored about 70 different systems from all different cultures that use sound in the chakra system.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really interesting experience because one of the readers of my thesis was a writer for Harvard Science Magazine. And he was the first to trash me. He was like, there's no such thing as chi. There's no such thing as chakras. What is this stuff? Has this stuff been scientifically proven at all? You know, just like totally like wailed me. And I was like, well, this isn't gonna be good. So what I did was I bypassed him and went to the head of the program and said, will you be my reader? And she graciously accepted the invitation, and I actually ended up doing really well. I finished up at the top of the class, and it was a victory for chi. It was a victory for the chakra system.
You saved.
It's been around a long time. You know, it's hard to, you know, although there are still plenty of scientific people who would tell you there's no such thing. 5,000 years ago, you know, this entire energetic system was mapped and articulated in great detail.
Yes.
And what's also related to sound, which I think is interesting in many of these cultures. And that's what I was writing about. It's like people would use their voice to tone the energy bodies, to tone their internal systems. And they still do. And that's what a lot of mantras and chanting is all about anyway.
Really. The singing bowls as well.
Singing bowls as well. They, you know,
those it's interesting. Those have been around longer than us.
Those have been around much longer than us. And it's interesting because if you go to most people in the Tibetan culture, for instance, about these bowls, they won't tell you anything about them. They have this sort of like, they give you a little smile and say, it's for eating rice. Like, it's not for eating rice.
They don't want to give their deep.
They don't want to give up the secrets. They don't want to give up anything to, you know.
I don't blame them.
These Westerners. It takes time to really tune in to those sort of things, to toning, chanting, and using your voice. You can use it in a rudimentary way, your voice to tone yourself. And you don't have to be some kind of expert, but you can go as deep as you possibly want to with the entire thing. You can really go a long way. Like, for instance, if you were to tone on a vowel sound, for 2 minutes, just for 2 minutes, deep breath in, slowly let it out, control the tone. For 2 minutes, you would balance the electrical activity of the hemispheres of your brain in 2 minutes. You calm your nervous system, and you would notice something after 2 minutes. And the place that you would notice something that I find so very interesting is when you're silent, because silence is a very big part of music and sound. I know that sounds a little counterintuitive, but it hardly is. Because when you would stop toning and be in that space with the first 30 seconds after you stop, that's when you notice this vibrational difference. That's when you notice, and what's happening is your system is integrating that whole thing and you're in a different space. There are plenty of musicians who are really great musicians who have said over the years that it's the space between the notes. You play the spaces. Mm-hmm. The same way you play the actual notes, you play the spaces just as much. They are so important. And silence is incredibly important. And becoming a recording musician especially after the band things ended, I started doing a lot of recording in a recording studio. My friend David Correa, who's a Grammy-winning producer, and a few of our friends started a recording studio in 1981. And oh, wow. I started recording in 1978. And then I started recording at the studio we built probably in the early 80s, mid 80s, but got much more serious about it and started putting CDs out towards the 90s. And these musicians will tell you that you have to leave space. It's absolutely essential. So where I was going with that is that as a recording artist at that point, and a longtime spiritual practice meditator, yes, I was even more acutely aware of what silence was, spending hours each day in meditation and getting to a real place of stillness, and then bringing that awareness to action in going into the studio and recording. And that was, and still is to this day, an important and integral element of the creative process is being, to say that.
Just being in the silence.
Just knowing the silence and being in sort of open-eyed meditation during your day, where you are focused on something other than everything external. You can still operate in this world and be meditating.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You don't have to be sitting in a lotus position somewhere, although practice, you know, is helpful. So that's what I have to say about that, other than it took me up until, give me the whole history here, up until I started recording and producing CDs. Since the 90s, I've produced 19 of them. 10 of them are up on my website at the moment, instrumental CDs and singer-songwriter CDs. And of late, I've been much more focused on the singing.
What's the name of your website? You should share that. We'll share it again, but.
Okay, well, I'll share it right now. It's called Song of the Sun, www.songofthesun.com. And Song of the Sun has the five of many more instrumental CDs available at this point, and five of the singer-songwriter CDs. A sixth singer-songwriter CD is due out early next year, probably by spring. It's entitled Tears of Light. And the latest one is called Luminous, and you'll find that on my website. That was produced during fall and winter of 2020. So a COVID era production.
Maybe you need to put that in, you know, parentheses.
No, I don't like to bring too much attention to that whole thing anyway.
So people know what inspires you. How about your family? I know you said your mom and dad were into music and musicians, vocalists. What about your siblings?
My brother, my older brother, was a singer-songwriter, a folky. He played regionally and recorded an album up until the time he was about 30, full-time. And then he decided that it was time to grow up and stop playing in bars. And he got a full free ride, actually, at Brown University in a creative writing program. Went on to become a published poet, went on to become poet laureate of Rhode Island for 5 years, published 7 or 8 of his own books, and became sort of he went on a Prairie Home Companion on NPR. They would read his poems. He became the poet guy. He's now retired. He was a college professor at RISD for 10 years and then went to Bryant and became a full professor.
Wow.
He went down the academic road but very musical, still plays, still writes silly songs, has a little studio outside of his house where he can get out of his wife's hair and go over to the little place and record and do his thing. So God bless him. I mean, he's 72 and he's still playing. So good for him.
That's great. Do you think it keeps you young?
Absolutely.
Is it the vibration?
Unless, of course, you know, you cop to the rock and roll lifestyle. Now, all of these guys who are still viable players and stuff, they have had to really clean up their act. Like, I mean, if you've seen Ringo Starr lately, he looks like he's 60. He looks unbelievable. He's vegan. He meditates. He lives this California lifestyle. He's like, he's so smooth, man. And he is truly chill. I mean, it's awesome. He just put out a single. And how old is he? He's like 78?
Something like
that.
Well.
The Beatles documentary that's out on Disney right now, it's just making me think about him. And he's just one small example. I get so excited when I see these older guys kick, because you can either become one of two things. You can become a rock and roll legend who has continued to produce great music and is vital and is still an artist in every way, or you can just become a horrible sort of version of yourself that everybody is sort of like, mm-hmm. No.
Just done with.
You can just be a mess. And we've seen both. I know the clear distinction there, but it's not all about rock and roll music. It's all about, I mean, that's our popular culture and all, but it's about any language you speak. Some people speak classical music fluently and they have a deep and abiding love for it. And so why not? You know, any music. There's only two kinds of music, good music and not so good music.
In tune and out of tune.
Yeah, and in tune means in tune. Like, like in tune. Mm-hmm. That's what this is all about. You know, I, as a musician, that's really what it is. You got to bring your heart to the game.
And right, there's a piece of you in every single song and every note in all of that.
Yes, if indeed you really are just bringing it through. And that's the idea for me personally anyway, is that I want to be able to be a channel for the energy, the music.
But you are. You are a channel.
No, that's handler, not channeler.
I think you're a channel for the
energy. Oh, okay. You think I'm a channel for the energy?
Absolutely.
Yes. So how would you qualify this energy, Pam Patilano?
The musical energy?
Yeah, the musical energy that I'm channeling.
I think that because I've experienced your music, and yeah. I close my eyes usually when I listen to it, because it just shows me all kinds of colors, the colors of the chakras, you know, and I can feel it sometimes in my heart chakra, sometimes in my solar plexus. So I know that it's coming from a higher place. This isn't just, you know, really bad keyboard music where you just want to block your ears and say, no, stop, please. So I appreciate where your music comes from. And I, you know, it's funny because when I met you, I saw that, you know what I mean? Like I saw that in you. We knew there was no guessing game there. You're not just going to whatever that place was in Providence and playing hardcore rock and roll music and screaming and yelling. It wasn't about that. You were bringing, you know, a piece of yourself. You were bringing that, I don't know, it's kind of like what you hear in meditation music. It makes you feel something. It makes you see something. And I always felt better afterwards. Like physically felt better.
Wow.
If I had a headache, the headache would go away.
Oh, no.
See, it's and I wasn't the only one that felt that way.
Oh, that's very nice to hear.
And I should probably say this because we talked about it, it seems like an awful lot, but when I met David for 3 weeks before I actually met you, we had been friends on Facebook because we kind of traveled around in the music circles. Not that I'm musical, I'm not, but I was dating somebody at the time that was in a band. And I kept getting images of sunflowers and seeing sunflowers everywhere. And it wasn't just physical sunflowers, it was the word sunflower and it was the colors of sunflowers. And usually as an intuitive, I can place things pretty quickly. So if I'm getting messages like that, like I'll find the person it belongs to within a couple of days. However, this was not the case. So probably for about 3 weeks before I met you, I was experiencing this, and it was becoming very frustrating. And at one point, the day that I had met you, we went to some place in Woonsocket that you were at, and I didn't know you were going to be there. I had gone to see Roland Comtois because he was doing a book signing, right, for his brand new book. So this had to be at least 10 years ago. And when I walked in, it looked like an old church because there were pews, right? There were pews everywhere. And I looked over to my left and there was David at the end of the pew. And he comes walking over with this pile of things in his hand and says, I've been waiting for you. I'm so glad to finally meet you. And I laughed because I recognized your face and we shook hands and you said, I have something for you. And he hands me his CD cover, right? And on the cover were sunflowers. And I laughed because I said, okay, finally. And the lead song on that CD, right, was called Sunflower or Sunflowers?
The title of the CD, yeah.
Oh, yes. And then I looked straight ahead down the aisle and Roland was at his podium doing his speech about the book signing, and over to the left and over to the right of him were two big vases of sunflowers. So it solved that mystery, you know, and it was just, we were supposed to meet. We were definitely supposed to meet in person because it, you know, it fostered this 10 or 11 year span of friendship and somewhat collaboration on a couple of different little projects that we tried to get off the ground. Yeah, it's been really cool. Yeah, so when I think of you, whenever, it's always, that's what I see, those orange sunflowers in my head.
Well, I'm forever grateful because especially when you were down in Connecticut at Sacred Pathways, you really made a point of making sure that my solo performances were well attended and well publicized, and I had a blast doing it there. It was really cool. And
yeah, that was fun.
I really enjoyed it, and I have you to thank for that.
Well. I think there was a higher hand in all of this.
Which one?
Neither one of ours, that way.
True.
So can I put you on the spot then?
You can put me on the spot then.
Good. Do you want to sing something for us?
No, I don't.
How
am I going to do that? You know what I'd rather do? Look, we're going to have 2 interviews.
Yes. Yeah, the second one will be most of the music.
Oh, I see. So
yeah, wait, but give him a little flavor.
Do I have something I can?
I just love putting you on the spot.
Don't you, though?
I do.
Want me to do it?
Of course
you do.
Can you hear them clapping?
Yeah.
Yay.
Stop clapping.
Cheer them on, guys.
No. What am I supposed to sing?
Something from the new. Something short. Something
blue, something green.
He'll yell at me later.
All right.
That's okay.
Take a drink of water.
You just have to hear how beautiful his voice is.
I do.
They have
to hear it. You know, we're going to do another interview where you get to hear the pre-recorded version of the produced music.
With the music in the background.
How can I say? It goes like this. Listen to whistle memory breaking on God's golden shore. All of the children are running free. Loving you forevermore. Listen to the waves of a memory breaking on God's golden shore. All of the children there running free. Loving you forevermore. There's a little excerpt.
Yay!
Yeah, yeah. Gee, I hope you all liked it. I mean, really.
Thank you for humoring.
They left the neighborhood. They were disturbed.
See, that was so beautiful. Your voice is beautiful.
Probably the most healing.
Are you ready? Ready to grow and raise your vibration? Then buckle your spiritual seatbelt and hold on for the ride of a lifetime on Awakened Soul Stories with host, intuitive medium, and energy healer, Pam Padalano. Awakened Soul Stories is every Friday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Pam's guests are all part of the divine plan to help heal the world and raise the vibration in order to become one with the universal consciousness. Pay close attention as we go on this spiritual journey together.
I'm going to play a short clip of one of David's songs called Luminous, and we hope you enjoy it.
Ooh.
Listening to that song, Luminous, and we hope you enjoyed it. Now, back to the interview with David Chandler. This music that you're writing now, these two new CDs, and some of the music you've written in the most recent past and performed, is it inspired? Do you think it's because, you know, the world and mankind is going through this crazy transition that we're going through? Is you think it's to help awaken people to what's coming?
Yes, in fact. In fact, many of these songs are directly about the transition that we are now engaged in. And some of them, there's one called Song of the Sun, which is directly about that. There's another one called For Your Life, which is a very rock and roll sort of a thing, but it's about standing up for yourself as a sovereign being and not being controlled by someone else's agenda.
Or fear.
Or fear, which is really someone else's agenda. It's not mine, certainly. And so, yeah, many of these are like that. There's one called Earthrise. I think we'll probably be playing some of these at another time. Sanctuary, which is just about being in your home and being blessed to have a home and during all of this madness. But let's put it in perspective for a moment, if I may, because sure. I think it's important. And I think it's important because it's the underpinning of this series and of this show. It's really about an awakening. And so there's a bigger picture here, folks, about everything that's happening. The world is in incredible confusion at this very moment. However, it's not forever, and there is a happy ending on the other side of all of this.
You good to know.
You want to ask me how I know that?
Please. My next question, how do you know that?
I know that in my heart. I also know it from sort of intel from higher realms who have been informing me that this is indeed the case, that this is all part of a bigger plan to take us through the collective shadow of our species into a higher level of function, a higher level of awareness, a higher level of consciousness. That is what's in store for our world. However, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't buckle up for the bumpy ride in between here that we're in. Everybody's...
We have to go through it.
We have to go through it. There's no other way.
That's the only way that that the human beings are going to survive this transition is to go through it and come out the other side.
Indeed. It's when people encounter fear, the first thing they want to do is avoid it and run away from it. However, anyone who's ever met the boogeyman, which I never did, but thought he was under my bed when I was a kid, you come to find out that there is not a whole lot there that's really going to destroy you. It could, I suppose. I suppose all of this, if you want to be a real fear monger, you could say that it was all of this is going to destroy us, but it's not.
Right.
It simply isn't going to. You don't have to believe me. You can trust your own experience. Trust your own guidance. That's really the way. And that's how I choose to live, is trusting in the universe, trusting in life, trusting in my own heart and in the guidance that I have been gifted. So all that adds up to sound and music somehow in my life as well, because that's just the sort of the ultimate outcome of all my human experience. And yes, these songs in the last two CDs are all about the transition that we're in. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's also very difficult. I won't
painful.
Say,
you know, it's very painful.
Indeed.
Now you're working with a man named Christoph from New Zealand, I think you said?
I am.
Okay, so that has a lot to do with what is happening in the world right now. It also has a lot to do with the direction that you're taking for some of the music that you're writing to help him with his program. I don't know what else to call it. So if you can tell us a little bit or a lot about that.
I can tell you some. Yeah, I mean, Christoph Melchizedek is a teacher who was a trainer for pro athletes. And actually was like a coach for Tony Robbins for a while. And so he's in sort of in that human potential movement. And he got injured badly enough to make him have to rethink things. So the rethinking ended up being 4 years at Barbara Brennan School of Energy Healing in Colorado, which is an amazing, probably the top energy healing school in the world. So anyone who graduates from that program, my hat's off to them. It's a very difficult program. It was started by a NASA astrophysicist who had a great extrasensory perception and put together a curriculum that was very challenging. And so he went there. He also trained shamanically in a few different cultures and brought all of his knowledge back to New Zealand, where he started his own school called the Neo Shamanic Society. I had encountered him online for a number of years, and I really liked what he had to say and how he was, more than what he even had to say, just his being. I was like, this guy's got it going on. It's definitely happening for him. And it was visible. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy. He's just like, the guy is definitely very lit up, and he's not just excited, you know, he's an inspired teacher. So I thought, gee, you know, I want to connect with this guy. I packaged up a little care package of all my CDs and wrote him a letter and sent it to his house in New Zealand, and he got it, and like the next day after he got it, he sent me a video of thanking me personally and the whole thing. I mean, it was really wonderful, and suggesting that we get together online, have a little meeting, and see what how we might collaborate, because he's all about empowerment and collaboration, because that's the way of the future, folks. It's all about synergy, collaboration, community. That's where, and unity, that's where we're all headed. And so we met online, and an hour and a half later, we were best pals, and it was awesome. He hired me as his full-time soundtrack artist. He does all sorts of videos and does these audio transmissions where he brings energy in from higher realms and does somewhat, I guess you would call it, a guided meditation of sorts. And I have provided the soundtracks for those recently. And it's been a great experience, I gotta say, because it's service to the mission of transforming the world. And I think what it means is building a new world aside the one that is deconstructing itself.
Yes. Yes.
So it's no small thing to think that entire educational, economic, and political systems will be dismantled. It's worldwide. So this is no small thing. It's certainly not an American phenomenon, even though most Americans think they're the only people in the world. Sorry, not a huge patriot in that regard, but to have sort of the global awareness that everywhere on earth, all of these structures are reaching their sustainable end, and new ones are being built everywhere on earth by so many different cultures on a grassroots level. There are thousands of non-governmental organizations, thousands that are all doing something that, so that when the time is right, they can offer their bit of community to the unity. I find that to be amazing. And there are musicians who do that sort of thing too. There are musicians for healing and musicians, the groups online and that do this sort of work as well. I'm very interested in all of that.
Well, it's I think it's important that people are aware that there are other people out there that, you know, have the same mindset as we do, because the way things are going, you know, they need to, people need to step out of the fear. And if they don't have mentors to help them with that, they will never understand how to step out of it and that they can, you know, they have the ability to, because we, as human beings, have free will. We get to do whatever we want to do. Without hurting people, obviously, but even for ourselves, you know, nobody owns us as human beings individually. You know, they might say they do, but really, it's up to us to decide. But I see more and more people, you know, hence the whole thing about awakened souls is to help others to awaken and to move forward. And not repeat the past. You know, we're creating a new world, basically.
And on my end, my mission is to encourage people to engage in sound and music that engenders a shift of their own consciousness. Mm-hmm. Whatever that may be. That could be, it could be anything, really. It's not limited to any sort of style. I think one of the greatest gifts you could give to someone, if indeed you're looking for a Christmas blessing for your friends or family, is to find out what music they love the most and make them, you know, a CD or a flash drive or whatever it may be with a good song list on it, a mixtape, we used to call them in the 70s.
Yes, yes we did.
So you can make them a modern day mixtape of all their favorite stuff. And you'd be surprised, because I think, and I'm definitely biased, I will own my bias, but I have witnessed it so many times with so many different people that music has a way of lifting and shifting the vibe in a way that nothing else can, and in an immediate way.
Yes.
Which I just find, like, you know, if it can really, like, turn your mood, it can really turn your focus, it can really bring you into a different space in a very short amount of time.
Right, it's very transformative.
It has that ability. And everybody who's ever felt inspired to dance and sing and carry on and loves music knows exactly what I'm talking about. There's people who, you know, people love music. Some people love their music. And that's why I was saying, you know, find out what they love. Give them the mixtape of the 21st century mixtape and
see what they say.
And they will love you forever. No, it'll make them happy. You know, that's the whole point here.
You know, it's funny. I'm not much younger than you are. And, you know, the music we had in the 70s, 60s and 70s was, is actually the styles are coming back, like Simon and Garfunkel. You know, maybe I didn't appreciate it when I was a kid, but now when I listen to it, it's almost very meditative in a way. It takes me to a place other than here.
That's it. It's transformative and transporting. It's, you know, music can take you from one place to another.
Yes.
One thing that we all recognize is that when you hear a song from your past, it can take you back to the memory of that time in your life like nothing else does.
Yes, like immediately.
Immediately, and you remember all the details and just the feeling of that time in your life, and it's amazing.
Yeah, that's so true. I used to work in a jewelry shop when I was 13, carding jewelry in Providence, Rhode Island. And I remember it wasn't Rod Stewart. It was another singer that had blonde hair and kind of looked like Rod Stewart. And I can't think of his name, but they were like three songs that played over and over and over again. Every time I hear those songs, I'm sitting back at that jewelry bench carding jewelry. So funny.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. It's not a bad memory. It's just a memory, but.
Yeah, well, music has many transformative and it's nutritious. You know, it has a lot of capability. Help us.
Yes.
And not just shift our mood, but really like be a bridge to another level of awareness as well.
I agree. And I think that as we move into this new phase that we'll be in, and I don't know if it's going to happen now in 10 years and 20 years, but we're on the path to that. You know, we may not have physical bodies, or we may. I don't know what that looks like, but you know, I know that music is definitely going to be, or sound will definitely be a big part of that. And I'm excited about that. See what kind of new music comes up and and what you're doing.
Well, they do have robot bands now, so, you know, that's another thing.
Not the same.
Bands that are completely played, music is completely played by robots. Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
That's why they call it artificial intelligence.
Yes.
It's artificial.
Right. They don't feel the vibration like human beings do.
Right. Well, that's us. We're the vibratory beings. We are indeed.
Yes, we are. So tell people how they can find you and get in touch with you and, you know, anything good like that.
Sure. So I have a band page on Facebook, Music of Song of the Sun. And I have a website, www.songofthesun.com, where you can listen to clips, you can listen to some full length cuts, and you can purchase some music, and they make lovely holiday gifts, may I say. There's a couple in particular that, I would recommend if you're looking for some real good chill music. There's one called Home, which was actually sound designed for your home, basically a very meditative but not too like new agey wind chimes tinkling in the breeze sort of thing. It has some musical content as well, like some of that stuff, you know, I just think it's like oral wallpaper or something. It has very little depth. So anyway, there's what that one, and there's all the new singer-songwriter stuff is like I'm hot on it. So every recording artist, the last thing they did is probably always the best. So that's how, if you ever ask them, they're like, oh yeah, this is the best thing I ever did.
I don't know. The last one of your CD covers, if you have it, you can show it, is very psychedelic.
Oh, I do have it. One sec.
Okay.
So it's, this one actually does not, is no longer sold as this. And this is now a Song of the Sun CD because I rebranded myself as Song of the Sun. However, this was the cover. And this was a shot taken from the inside of my mind. Yes, an actual photograph. So anyway, that one isn't even available anymore, but it is available in the Song of the Sun catalog.
Oh, it is?
It is. It's been rebranded.
Okay, good. So what we're going to do is, this interview is going to be in two parts. The other part will be all about David's music, and we'll let everyone listen to a few of his songs, and David will explain about how, you know, he was inspired to write that particular song and maybe what the meaning of it is. So, you know, this will be on 1 week, and then all his songs and the information about that will be on the next week on the Awakened Soul Stories series on Dream Vision 7 Radio. So we're really excited about everybody joining us, not only for this interview, but for part two of David Chandler.
Stay tuned for part two. I'm going to use my radio voice for that. And we'll be right back after this.
So, how about that? Thank you for joining us, everyone. And I hope you have a great week. Thanks, David.
Thank you all.
And I hope you all tune in next week for part two of David Chandler and his amazing transformational music. We are so happy to have him here today. And hope you all enjoy your week, as we stated before, and try to do something kind for somebody. Try to do something kind for yourself, and try to do something kind for the world. We need your vibration. We need all your vibrations. Take care.
You've been listening to Awakened Soul Stories on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network with host Pam Padalano, airing every Friday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Thank you for tuning in, and our hope is that we've awakened a fire in your soul and inspired you to tell your story and to make a difference. Call 401-533-1864 or email Pam at thetreeoflife222@gmail.com for more information on being a guest. Check out our archived episodes and like us on Facebook and Instagram at Awakened Soul Stories. We look forward to hearing from you and connecting with you on this spiritual journey.